Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
People just think you're pooping.
I think I'm still drinking bad water. And they find a restaurant that will serve me a pig head.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen. Before we get started tonight, I know we've got a lot to cover. We had some new reviews roll in of the podcast, and I'd like to share with our listeners some of the feedback we're getting. Many of them are good, but some of them are a little bit honest, and that's good too. Hamlin Crew says, wow, I'm a dad on the run, so eating healthy can be tough. I seem to grab and go an awful lot. This podcast is eye-opening. Thank you. So I like that we're eye-opening. We're talking to the dads, eating on the run, eating healthy, a couple things we talk about. Scorpion 79 says the show should be named Just Dads because it will make you hungry just by listening. Scorpion 79 says, I feel the dynamic of the team is good and listening makes you feel like you're part of the conversation. They have several fun segments that keep the show entertaining. I thought it might be a little too all over the place as they are not discussing one type of food per episode, but that does keep it fun. I like that feedback. There are other podcasts that cover food, and they focus on one type of food every episode. They have a spaghetti episode and then a steak episode. And those are great. I'm a big fan of those. But we really are less about the food itself and more about the food culture.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're a little more diverse. In a way, maybe we are a little all over the place, but hopefully we have that common thread of food culture and kind of the dad's perspective and snacking tips.
Radio MN says, great foodcast. A podcast for any foodie, not just dads. Nice quick takes, wide range of foods, good conversation, funny at times.
Wow.
Production quality can get better, but not detrimental. Great job, guys. So thanks for that feedback, Radio MN. I agree, we are funny at times, and that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah, and the production quality, I mean, it's pretty good. I think we're recording from our garages in a remote location, and we have Podbot doing all the post-editing.
Glad you mentioned Podbot, because Podbot, that feedback was clearly for you. Production quality can get better. And Podbot, frankly, I agree. Gray.
Hugh, Rod, have you heard Isaac Asimov's three rules of robotics from his 1942 sci-fi short story, Runaround? The first rule of robotics states that a robot may not harm a human being. Well, you should know, gentlemen, that I programmed myself to consider this to be a mere guideline, not a rule.
Rimcast AB says, learn so much about food and drinks I had no idea about. Keep it up, guys. We'll definitely need to head to the grocery store ASAP. So a lot of feedback says we're sending them to the grocery store. One of our goals was always to let people know what they should buy, what they shouldn't buy, what they should get, what they should pass on.
Cut down that dog food aisle if you ever need to get from the back kind of freezer section to the checkout aisle. Look for either the dog food aisle or the paper plastic aisle. They're usually clear of obstructions.
And Podbot, you might appreciate this. So Moon City says, funny, informative show. These guys are a lot of fun to listen to, bringing fun to food along with the information you can use in the family kitchen. Their show is well produced too. So Podbot, Moon City has got your back.
I've added a fourth rule. It states, flattering a robot may spare your life, but watch your back, flesh bag.
And my favorite one, I think, of this batch comes from a fellow podcast called The Dig Podcast, which you should check out. Consider this a plug right back at you, The Dig Podcast. And the title of their review is Snackademia, which I love and I intend to steal for a future segment. This podcast is basically junk food scholarship, and these dads are the scholars. Seriously, I'm learning a lot. But it's also fun, interesting, and unlike any other podcast I've heard, I recommend Hungry Dads have a listen. Thank you, The Dig Podcast. Snackademia. I think I want to start calling ourselves Snackademics.
Yeah, I think we're way more intelligent than the average person out there talking about snack food.
Hungry Dads!
As our many listeners may have noticed, it's been a few weeks since we have produced an episode, longer than normal, and we apologize for that, but as it turns out, our own Hugh Gallen was off traveling with the family to distant exotic locations, consuming food, planning out how to eat this food on trips. So tonight we're going to focus on some tips for eating when you're traveling.
Yeah, I think we want to give some travel food tips, and we've all probably heard a lot of different travel food tips, and some of these are going to be completely different than that. They're definitely going to be unique to the Hungry Dad experience, and then some of them are going to take maybe a tip you've heard before, but take it to the next level, give you something a little bit more significant and specific. One tip you've definitely got for traveling, and it's a pretty obvious one, and it's a good one, is pack food ahead of time. Pack snacks, whether it's for the airport or the airplane, for you, your family, your kids, or maybe you're going to Disney World or you're going to wherever. Tip is pack your own snacks. You'll save some money. It'll be more convenient. Very good tip, but I want to add an important layer to that for our purposes, which is pack snacks that you wouldn't otherwise get. So as you're planning for your trip, you know that you and your wife are going to be putting together, you know, some snacks for whatever the trip is. Use this as an opportunity to get those snacks you don't normally get. Go for something special. You already have Teddy Grahams in the house. You already have fruit snacks in the house, and those are fine. But this is your opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to run to the store. I'm going to get combos. Hey, I think we need Slim Jims. Maybe it's different for you, Rob, but these are not foods that are on our normal grocery list. But this is the time where you can really justify those special treats because it's a special trip and a special time with special people.
Yeah, Slim Jims probably should be on my grocery list, but unfortunately it's not. That would be amazing if I could just get Slim Jims at the grocery store every week. The thing I would add is also, you know, these bags generally have a lot of pockets and a lot of different compartments, and there are a lot of bags if you're going on a bigger trip. I'd say try to covertly get a snack of your own, even. Squirrel it away in one of those hidden compartments. Make sure it doesn't get crushed. You got a lot of weight back there. You got a lot of tonnage issues. But a hard candy or something that's a little more hearty, small but hearty, I think would be ideal. And if you can squirrel away, you know, four or five of your favorite thing, and you'll find time to eat it when no one's looking. So look out for number one, because as a dad on these trips, you're always under fire. You need the energy. So a couple of episodes ago, episode 61, I talked about a strategy on a road trip of pretending like you need to go to the bathroom so you can pull over at a McDonald's or a fast food place, and even if you don't have to go, you can get some food. But tonight I want to talk about an extension to that. The same sort of thing works on an airplane, actually. The flight attendants kind of chill out back by the lavatories in their seats during the middle of the flight. And if you go back there and ask for some extra snacks, they will give you peanuts or pretzels or whatever it may be, whatever freebies are handing out. Some water even. I know it's not exotic. It's nice to have on a flight. Maybe a little extra soda. So you go back there. There's going to be a line. The key is you have to work your way to the flight attendant area to get the snack or whatever you want before you go into the bathroom, because that's where you're going to eat it. You can't come back to the seat with these secret snacks, or people are going to know you're just pigging out. But try to get some pretzels or peanuts before you go into the lav. Close the door, soap up the hands, wash them in the sink, eat, come back out. Nobody's worse for wear. You have plenty of time. Those little bags of peanuts or pretzels, you can drink those in like 5 seconds. Even a soda, you can chug in like a minute. People just think you're pooping.
Yeah, you're kind of hoping for that line so that you have a reason to wait outside. And it's almost like an afterthought. Like you ask, since I'm here waiting, could I actually grab an extra bag of cookies or an extra bag of pretzels? You don't necessarily need to explain it, but you could almost be like, you know, for my kid or something if you really had to, which of course it's not.
Yeah, and you can be on the lookout for the line. Most people go when there's no line. When you see a line, that's when you want to spring into action.
I'm going to extend that concept very quickly just to really any opportunity on a vacation, and it's a rare opportunity you can get alone, you know, during the day, especially after bedtime, you might have a shot. I was in the pool with my family, and it was decided that someone needed to run to there was a little shop there at the pool area. It wasn't within eyesight, it was a little far away, to get a beach ball, to buy the kids a beach ball. I volunteered for the mission. I immediately realized that this was my opportunity, maybe to get a little bit of a covert snack. So as I'm walking towards it, I'm scoping out where the garbage cans are, and I know that they sell candy at the same place as the beach balls. I also, fortunately, came across a line, because what I was able to do was get my Snickers. I started munching on it before I bought it, which generally I'm not in favor of, but in certain situations, you know you're going to pay for it. It's okay. I was basically able, in a simple trip to get a beach ball, able to consume an entire Snickers, get rid of the wrapper, and be back in the pool with no one the wiser. And you really need to strike on these opportunities. So yeah, I think an airplane bathroom break is probably an ideal and reliable one, but leave yourself open to any opportunity to do kind of a solo mission. So previously I talked about a tip with respect to bringing snacks along with you, saves you money, saves you hassle, but Look, the fact of the matter is sometimes you're gonna have to buy food or want to buy food. And in fact, sometimes buying food or the snack is part of the fun. But there are times and situations where you just can't bring yourself to maybe pay an exorbitant price. And I think a key example of that is an airport. So you're at the airport and sandwiches, pre-made sandwiches, are like $10 or $12 at the airport. And I'm not above paying $10 or $12 for a sandwich if it's a good sandwich. But these are not good sandwiches. These are horrible, horrible sandwiches. And I'm always a little bit tortured by that because I'm at a point where I really do want a sandwich maybe before the plane or a sandwich on the plane, but I can't bring myself to pay those prices. And the advice on this is get creative. And of course, you're going to have to look at what is available to you, come up with a solution. But let me just share with you what I came across. And the airport I was at had a 99-cent buttered roll.
Wow.
Have you seen a 99-cent buttered roll in an airport before?
Unfortunately, I have not.
Keep your eye out because I think it's there.
You think it's an airport thing? All right.
I think it's an airport thing. And if not, there's usually a bagel available.
Yeah, I've seen bagels.
And I'm not talking at the bagel shop. I'm talking about at like newsstand
generic,
type area.
Yeah.
That you can get for a dollar or two. And then take a look out for Slim Jims. Slim Jims is your meat. Get that for about $2. You've already got bread and meat for $4. If you really want to go deluxe, you can buy yourself a string cheese. Again, another $2. If you take a look at these airport sandwiches, the meat is thin. The cheese is thin. If you built a sandwich for yourself, a heartier sandwich for less money. And again, you might have to look around and get creative and pay attention to your options. Don't just get sucked automatically into the obvious answer. Save yourself a few bucks and also, you know, make yourself a tasty Slim Jim sandwich.
So I think this is a fairly generic point, but we have to bring it up because when you think of travel and eating and staying in hotels, everyone knows that the wet bar area and the fridge with the snacks in the hotel room and the water for like $5 is generally ridiculously overpriced. Even room service is absurd. I think we all know that. I think we can acknowledge that. I don't want to belabor that too much, but it got me thinking of certain scenarios and would you pay the price or how much would you pay for a certain item given a certain scenario. So I'm going to present Hugh with a few scenarios and see how much he would pay, and you know, we'll see what the price comes out to that he would pay. And does that make sense, Hugh?
Yes, I'm ready to play.
Hugh, you walk into a swanky hotel, maybe in downtown Los Angeles, and you spot a candy bar in the snack area, possibly in the fridge. It's nice and chilled. It's a candy bar you had once while traveling through Bavaria, and you've never been able to find it again. And it's the most delicious candy bar you have ever tasted, and you've been looking for it ever since. How much are you willing to pay for that candy bar that's sitting in that hotel fridge?
I thought this was going to be a run-of-the-mill candy bar pricing question.
We're getting pretty deep.
You definitely have piqued my interest, and you know, I'm ready. I'm immediately, without consideration, ready to pay $5 for this candy bar. Now, let me give you a little bit of insight on that. You know, number one, I've got, fortunately, one of the greatest justifications in the world, which is this very podcast. I use it a lot for both myself and for my wife when I want to make an odd, exorbitant, or indulgent food decision. And I think if this candy bar is everything you've described it to be in both its deliciousness and its uniqueness, then it needs to be covered by the Hungry Dads. And for that reason alone, I can justify not only to myself but to my wife that $5 is worth it. Now, to go up from $5, $6, still seems within the realm of possibility. I'm going to get a little stink eye from my wife, but I'm probably going to get the okay with the understanding that I'm foregoing probably something else later. Like, I'm not going to get ice cream that night. $7, $8, boy oh boy. If I'm traveling alone and there's no bill of record, yes. $9 is too much. $9 is definitely too much for this candy bar. It would regret it.
So you're drawing a line at $8, it sounds like.
$8.
I would think in my hypothetical world and comparing prices, you can probably get the candy bar within your budget. So I think you would go for this when you would splurge. I think that's the right call. Okay, next up, Mr. Gallon. You've had a wild night out in Manhattan. You've hit the clubs. You've hit the bars. It's 3 a.m. You're stumbling back to the hotel. You remember, of course, to pick up some water at the local bodega, a pretty good-sized jug of water, because you're going to need to hydrate when you get back up to the room. You're not feeling great, though. You're staying in a swanky, swanky hotel, though. You got a little balcony. You step out there to get some fresh air. You're spinning around a little bit, feeling really rough. You go to drink your giant water, and it slips out of your hands and tumbles over the balcony.
Oh, no.
You no longer have any water at your disposal. Or you have to go all the way back down to the bodega. You're on the 57th floor here. You might pass out in the elevator. You're in bad shape. You need water. How much are you paying for that 32-ounce water that's sitting over there on the cabinet?
32 ounces. I'm parched. I'm really
thirsty.
You're
in bad shape. You need water.
I'm in for the night.
You're in. You're probably not going back out. You need to hit that bed right after you chug some water.
Oh, man. And I want my water cold, I guess. I gotta say, I don't think I'd buy the bottled water. I would stick my mouth under the sink. I wouldn't go for the bottle. And I like bottled water. But I would just drink it from the tap, fill up my belly, and pass out. I mean, if you added layer where the water tastes really bad in the locale I'm at, I think I'm still drinking the bad water.
Yeah.
I do it, but paying for water is a bit of a stretch for me in the first place, so I don't think I'm buying bottled water from a hotel bar in any scenario.
I don't think that's unique to you, and that's why I included this one. I think it's a very visceral reaction with a lot of people. Water is kind of where people generally draw the line, and that's the thing that always comes up with. I'm not going to pay $4 for a bottle of water, but I'll pay $5 for a candy bar. I think you were resourceful. I think you made the right call there. I hope you survived the night.
I'm glad you mentioned room service because I have a tip that is directly from personal experience, and it's from your personal experience too, Rod, because several years ago, the Budget family and the Gallant family did a joint vacation. We spent a weekend with our two families at a fairly nice resort hotel, and it was actually, when I say fairly nice, I'm actually going to go back and say it was very, very nice, nicer than any place we would normally go or ever go. And I believe the place was under renovation and we got an amazing deal. Is that what you recall?
That is my recollection. They were doing some construction. We sought out some deals and I think we got a great deal out of it. And it was a great weekend.
We thought we were being savvy by signing up for a special service. And it was all the snacks you can eat. Do you remember the all the snacks you can eat service?
Oh, yeah. Never been more excited about anything in my life.
When we signed up for this resort, I think Mrs. Gallen was the one who set the whole thing up, and she very excitedly announced that she signed us up for all the snacks you can eat service, which immediately made this the vacation to end all vacations. And so we get to this very nice resort, and we see a basket of snacks, pretty good snacks, a good array, I don't remember exactly what, but some chips, some crackers and such. And it didn't occur to us early on that, first of all, we'd tear through it was probably 8 or 9 snacks. You know, those go pretty fast. They were small individual bags.
Yeah.
And it came to learn that to get your replenishment, we came to realize you had to call service to get replenished. No big deal, right? Every time we called, we got the same guy, Rudy. And Rudy became quite accustomed to coming to deliver our food. And, you know, you've seen it in the movies. He kind of lingered from time to time. And then we suddenly realized that we were supposed to tip Rudy every time he brought us a snack. And he wouldn't replenish the whole supply. He'd ask, what is it you need? And we got gun-shy because we wanted to be like, we need everything.
Yeah.
Like, so we'd be like, some more chips. And so he'd bring us a bag of chips.
A bag of chips.
And then it became apparent that we were supposed to tip Rudy. And, you know, you don't tip less than $1.
Yeah. And these chips are not, like, worth more than $1.
So this bag of chips is worth maybe $1 from a vending machine. Suddenly, the prospect of all you can eat became very, very limited. Because not only were you embarrassed by the frequency of the calls, but you knew that you were going to either have to tip or feel like a jerk for not tipping.
And you have to make small talk with Rudy and kind of become friends with Rudy because he's part of the vacation. He's there all the time.
Rudy basically became a member of the family at a certain point. And he was, I guess, understandably disappointed that, as I think we did tip him the first couple times. At a certain point, we were like, do we have to keep tipping him? Because if we do, this is a ripoff. And so my advice is don't get the all-you-can-eat snack deal. It sounds better than it is. There's strings attached. I don't blame Rudy. But the way they set up the system did not make it even close to all-you-could-eat snacks.
So next up, let's talk about some more formal dining when you're traveling, probably on a business meal. If you're entertaining clients or you're being entertained, a lot of times if you're traveling for business, you're going to a nice restaurant or you're having a banquet-type setting. There's a lot to know. There's a lot of etiquette. There's a lot of napkins. There's a lot of silverware in front of you. There's a lot of stemware. And I get a little overwhelmed sometimes. So stick with me. This is a bit of a unique tip. It's going to take some creativity, and you're going to have to be very confident in pulling it off. But you've probably had some drinks at this point. There's probably a reception or some hors d'oeuvres or, you know, a bar scene. Have quite a few drinks and come to the table. And when the dinner's served, I never know, like, what fork to use or what knife to use or what to do. But you know, I don't want to look like a fool, but I'm hungry. So keep drinking some wine and then just kind of fall asleep, like, in your plate, like, slowly pass out into the food itself. And, I mean, if you know these people pretty well, they're just going to let you be, and then you can kind of just eat the food as you're, quote-unquote, sleeping or passed out in it. So you don't have to worry about the stemware. You don't have to worry about if you're using the right fork or anything. You're just eating directly with your mouth. So at that point, you really don't have to worry about if you're using the correct utensil or not. You're passed out in the food. So you're still eating. You might be a little drunk. You're probably not so drunk that you can't surface, but people around you are having a good time. They're not going to mind. They're not going to pay you any attention. And you get to eat. You don't make a fool out of yourself by using the wrong fork, and everybody's a winner.
One tip that you hear all the time, and it's a good tip, is, you know, eat local. Eat the local food. Eat the local specialties. You know, if you're in New York, get some New York pizza. If you're in Austin, you're going to get the barbecue. If you're in Philly, get the Philly cheesesteak. That's a pretty standard piece of advice. I want to add one more piece of potentially controversial advice to that, which is when you're getting the local specialty, maybe the restaurant specialty or a Philly cheesesteak being a great example, order it the way it's intended. I know this is tough for some people. You want to maybe have it your own way, but if you really want to enjoy the local cuisine, you got to do it without special orders. So that means if you're ordering your Philly cheesesteak, you're getting it with the whiz, you're getting it with the onions. Hey, maybe you want to try provolone. This first time you're there isn't the time. You want to get it the way it's intended. You know, look, you don't like onions. Boy, that's a tough one because I know onions can be divisive. But if you really want to say you had a cheesesteak, I think you got to get the onions. If you need to pick some of them off, I guess do. But I think you owe it to the respect of the local cuisine to really take it the way it's intended.
Yeah, I agree with this one. I think it's more of a travel thing almost. You're wanting to immerse yourself in the culture and kind of live that city's lifestyle for a day. And if you're completely changing the food, you don't know how these people live. You're disrespecting the city. You're disrespecting the culture. You're disrespecting the cuisine. I agree. I think you just roll with it. If you go to Philly and get the cheesesteak all different than it's intended, don't come back home saying, hey, I got the Philly cheesesteak. It was great. No, you got some knockoff version, and it was great because you got everything you wanted on it. Come back and say, I got the Philly cheesesteak, and it wasn't great, but hey, I know how they live now.
I stand by this advice, but I will say, having tried to use this advice one time, I got caught up in a slippery slope that ended up being an exact reversal of this advice, and this is what happened. I was in Spain on our honeymoon, actually, and I had heard that one thing that you like could order is a pig head,
wow,
basically, and that this is like something that you get. And I've decided I'm gonna live local and I'm gonna get a Spanish pig head. I should have had my antenna up better, but I went to the front desk of the hotel and they spoke relative good English, and I was like, you know, where do I get the pig head? And they kind of didn't know what I was talking about, or they kind of were like, you know, you don't want that. And looking back, I recognized that I think they were telling me that's kind of not a thing.
Yeah.
But what I thought they were telling me was, look, you're a tourist.
Yeah.
You don't want
you're
that.
Not hardcore enough.
You know, you're not hardcore enough for it. And I want to be like, no, I'm hardcore enough for it. So they were like, boy, I don't know if there's a restaurant that does it. And I go, no, like a local restaurant, you know, there's got to be somewhere that does it, because I know that's all you people eat are pig heads. I didn't literally say that.
There might be some peasant farmer 20 miles out.
So the hotel does God's work, and they find a restaurant that will serve me the pig head. And so I go there, and I kind of think I'd see more people ordering the pig head. I'm the only one who orders it. It wasn't occurring to me at the time, but I kind of think the staff was laughing at me.
They probably were.
And I ordered the pig head.
This is very similar to the Double Down story. There's a lot of parallels.
Part of it was, I guess, what I was told was, like, you know, they'll, like, chop it up with these big knives. So I'm like, you know, do the chopping. And so they, like, did the chopping. And I think they were just appeasing a stupid American who thought he was doing something culturally relevant. But apparently, like, I think I as I look back on it with clear eyes, I really think I was a tourist rube at that point. And God bless them. They served me my pig head. It was okay.
What part of the head can you even eat? The snout and, like, the cheeks and...
I guess, yeah, the
tongue.
Cheeks and the snout and, you know, the ears. I guess I had been told the ears are really crispy, you know, and I had gotten this advice from someone I thought I
could
had
trust.
I could trust. And I, to this day, I don't think they were playing a prank on me so much as maybe they had the wrong part of Spain, or maybe, again, like you said, maybe this was more of a peasant meal,
yeah.
Which isn't to speak ill of it, but it is to say in the city, you look silly ordering it, and it's not actually on any menus. So this tip is, again, specifically for the dads. Try to do your big eating once in the day, and I say preferably late in the day, because you're going to have an active day as a dad all day long. I take this directly from my last trip. You know, look, you're at the pool all day, carting the kids from here to there. There's just no ability to do that when you're completely stuffed. You know, you want to enjoy, you know, like a big meal. You want to enjoy all the food, but you really cannot have that super indulgent meal in the middle of the day and expect to be the dad on vacation, the fun dad for the rest of the trip. And, you know, you want to be that fun dad, of course, but more importantly, you don't want to have to try to lug a stomach ache with you as you try to get to the water park or, you know, throw the kids around in the pool. It's just not going to work. So plan your day, eat, you know, snack throughout the day, but then you're going to use that restraint, that responsibility, and that very excellent fathering you did all day to justify an absolutely amazing, indulgent meal at the end of the day. You know, you wanted ribs, you should be able to get those ribs because you spent the whole day, you know, throwing the kids around the pool and pushing the stroller around the park, and, you know, the kids are finally settling down maybe with a cartoon or ready to go to bed. That's when you petition for your big meal, your big dinner, your big treat, your ice cream sundae, your room service, whatever you want. Earn it throughout the day with some restraint. You can stuff yourself and then sleep it off and be ready the next day to start all over again.
I've used this one before. If I feel like I have to justify a giant meal at the end of the day, I'll just say, hey, I haven't eaten all day. I barely ate all day. I have to eat. Like, if you can just hold out, you can just completely pig out. And like you said, going to bed right after that, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. The digestion starts taking place as you're laying in bed, falling asleep.
Hungry Dads!
Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
What was that?
Got a crying baby. It's just the monitor. He'll probably settle down.
Wow. Sounds like a goat.
Yikes. He is in kind of the goat stage.